The scripture reading today is Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. The coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested above each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they ask, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and Cyrene, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They're full of new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A gospel reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. I'll commence reading from verse 8 until the 17th. And I'll be reading it from the RSV, the Revised Standard Version. You may rise if you're able for the reading of the good news. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. And how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. The words of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Day of Pentecost. The coming of the Holy Spirit. And the beginning and the origin of the church. So what exactly is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God, fully God, not partially or almost God. And he resides in any believer in Christ. He is a means by which God maintains an immediate, intimate relationship with those who understand his spiritual presence within them as being complete and of the same substance as the other two persons of the Trinity, God the Father and God the Son. God is big, right? He is huge. And so we naturally have that sense of God being out there somewhere, residing in the heavens, somewhat detachedly overseeing and directing everything that happens everywhere in the universe. We have an intuitive image of God as the impenetrable, it's a tough word for me, inscrutable, the unknowable. And that makes sense. We are, after all, talking about the forever beyond here, about the Alpha and the Omega, the maker of all that is, has been, and ever will be. No surprise, then, that we have this very profound sense of eternal otherness about God. And in a very real sense, that is who God is. God the Father is God above. But through Jesus Christ, we are given a vastly different way to appreciate and know God. Here is God as also fully human, God as anything but detached from our fears and trials. Here is God loving us so much that he incarnate himself as one of us and then willfully allowed himself to be brutally killed so that we might begin to grasp the depth of his commitment to our present internal well-being. Even if we can't fully understand the whole of Jesus, we know that as the God-man, he has personified human earthly action, persuasion, conviction, love, anger, anguish. That in sending Jesus, God has revealed himself as someone with whom we can definitely relate and even identify. More important, Jesus proves that God is someone who can forever identify with us. This is a God whom we know knows every last bit of trouble we will ever suffer. First, we have God the Father above us. And then we have God the Son down here on earth, abiding where we live and breathe and die. God with us, Emmanuel. But ultimately, physically, Jesus left us, didn't he? After his stunning resurrection, the Son returned to heaven, where, as the Bible tells us, he resumed his place next to the Father. And then, here we are, left without God in flesh that we once had walking amongst us. That breaks our hearts. And over time, it is also bound to make it harder for us to properly remember and honor God. We humans, after all, inclined to be more impressed and persuaded by what's before us than by what seems to be eons behind us. God, of course, knows this about us. He knows we can't live on memories and ancient stories alone. He knows that in order to keep us inspired and engaged, we need something dynamic, immediate, real, vibrant, deeply individualized, and profoundly personal. And so out of his infinite love for us, he arranged to leave behind in the heart of every one of his believers the entirety of himself. That miraculous, clear, unmistakable, holy presence inside each of us that we call the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God within. He is all of God, as close to any believer as his or her next heartbeat. From John 14, this is Jesus speaking. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither knows of him, but you will know him, for he lives with you and will be in you, and I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have to say to you. Verses 16 through 18 and 26. Mysterious, isn't it? But wonderful. Especially when you begin to call upon the power of the Holy Spirit to assist you in whatever you do. He's there. He's always there. He's in you. All we have to do is listen and be a conduit. a funnel for the Spirit. That way, as Methodists, we can truly say that we are here, that our mission is here to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Amen. Amen. Amen.